Now we're recording. All right, welcome everyone. I'm Gary Spackman, Department of Water Resources. And this is the time and place scheduled for a pre-hearing conference regarding two petitions for hearing, one regarding a petition for declaratory ruling, and then another petition for hearing regarding the order that established a groundwater management area for the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. And both of those petitions were scheduled for a pre-hearing conference today at 10. And there are some recent developments that have occurred, but before we start talking about those, let's go around the table here and identify folks. So in a clockwise direction, Garrick
Baxter for the Department of Water Resources.
Emmy Blades for the department.
Candace McHugh on behalf of McCain.
Then let's drop back to you, Mike.
Mike Kramer, City of Hay.
Will Barron on behalf of the Water District 37B Groundwater Group.
Okay.
Travis Thompson for the Surface Water Coalition.
John Simpson appearing for Al Barker today with respect to the South Valley Groundwater District and Idaho Power Company.
Chris Bromley, City of Bellevue and Coalition of Cities, depending on the matter, Director. So in the declaratory action, I represent City of Bellevue, and the ESPA groundwater management area issue represent the Coalition of Cities.
Okay, thanks. Kimmy?
Kimmy White, IDWR.
Okay, and then on the phone, and I don't know how to orderly ask, so let me just see. Why don't I just go down through. Do we have anybody representing the Sun Valley Company today? And that may be a result of that most recent action that I alluded to. Ken Fletcher?
I'm here, thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Ken. Let's see. Anybody else?
Am I still distorted today?
Yes, but your voice is coming through clear.
Evan Robertson, Director.
Oh, goodness. I'm hoping John Rochalt is on too, Evan.
We'll have an old-timers party.
Yeah. Who are you representing, Evan?
I represent the Sun Valley Water and Sewer District. Not a party, but pussy.
Okay. All right, thanks. Nice to have you around. Joe James?
Yes, Director.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, Dylan Lawrence, Will, you're filling
yes.
in for Dylan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Randy or TJ Budge?
Morning, Director, this is TJ.
Morning, TJ. Dean Tranmer? Sarah Klon or Mitra?
Sarah Klon is on for Pocatello. Dean is not on today.
Okay.
And this is Mitra Pemberton as well. Good morning.
Welcome, Sarah and Mitra. Jerry Rigby.
Good morning. Yes, I'm on for Fremont Madison, Madison Groundwater District, and also Idaho Irrigation.
Great. Al Barker.
Director, I'm here today helping out.
Al. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that you would assist. Thank you. Rob Harris?
Rob Harris here on behalf of the Basin 33 water users.
Okay, thank you. Now let me see if there's anybody else. Candace, I didn't call you out, but you introduced yourself. Rob Williams?
I'm here on behalf of Rob Williams, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Director.
Great.
Okay. And this is Randy McMillan on behalf of Clear Springs Foods.
Okay, welcome, Randy. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we're convened again, and the last order that was issued in this matter, at least on the administrative side, stayed the proceedings here pending the appeals that had been filed. There was a decision that was written by Judge Wildman. I guess the timing of this pre-hearing conference was well-timed. And so based on that decision, then we're back. I also stated that I would entertain additional petitions to intervene during the period of the stay. And I'm unaware that I've received any petitions. I will just mention that as I went through it, I noticed that Jerry Rigby, your clients are participating in the request for hearing for declaratory ruling, but are not participating in the groundwater management area petition. So I don't show Fremont Madison, Idaho Irrigation and Madison Groundwater District as being parties in the groundwater management area. And that seems to be, go ahead, John.
Well, Mr. Director, Clear Springs and Idaho Power did file petitions to intervene in the designation, and that those were granted by your shop 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware of the timing. I just showed you as intervener. So there are pending petitions then. We have...
Those are granted.
We granted those.
Then. Yes, thank okay. you.
All right, well...
Mr. Director, this is Jerry Rigby then. You addressed mine. Quite frankly, I thought I was just doing the opposite of what you just stated. So I need to... because we definitely want to be involved with the groundwater management area... The order. So if I need to make amends to that, I need to do so.
Well, we went through this morning all of the petitions to intervene and went through each of those, and I guess we need to confirm, but I think we're quite certain that the petition for declaratory ruling hearing is the matter that your clients intervened in, Jerry.
Yeah, and I apologize then, because we meant to do just the opposite. The groundwater management area order is the one that we're most interested in.
And that's why I mentioned the participation as we see it, is because I assume that your client would have greater interest in the substantive creation and the underlying order. So, anyway, how do we remedy the situation, Jerry? Do you want to file some document that amends the petition?
I certainly will, if I can do that today.
Well, that would be helpful, because then I wouldn't have to change any order related to the petitions to intervene. The previous order stated that I would accept them through today. So it would be helpful to have something filed.
All right, we will do so. The only problem is getting the money to you. But whatever that takes, I'll get that done as well.
Well, I think we've always said that a petition is deficient till the money comes in, right?
That's what I was told this week.
That's what I say.
The what?
If I need
what?
To take it to Idaho Falls, I will do so.
The what, Travis? Okay, well, I just get it paid.
And just for the record, McCain is only a participant in the groundwater management area.
That's correct, and I think I could reverse and talk about who was a participant in the groundwater management area challenge and not in the petition for declaratory ruling, but it seems to me that most of the parties would have a greater interest in looking at the order that created the groundwater management area, because all of the facts are really in that particular order and in the challenge. The matter of the declaratory ruling seems to me to be more issues of law rather than issues of fact at this point. Okay, let's talk about the two filings that came in from the Sun Valley Company. So we received, and I'm assuming all the parties received, a notice of withdrawal of request for hearing for both the the request for hearing on the order related to declaratory ruling and also the order creating the groundwater management area. And the petitions, actually I referred to them as petitions and I wanted to go back and properly characterize them. They're both notices of withdrawal of the request for hearing. And they were filed by the petitioner in both matters and filed by the sole petitioner in both matters. Everybody else is an intervener. So the question that I need to throw out to everybody now is, what do I have in front of me? And I'll just say that at least in past experience, I've seen the department, when a petition, and I shouldn't characterize it as a petition withdrawn, it's a withdrawal for a request of hearing, but also a withdrawal from participation in the hearing granted by the director. So it's not actually a withdrawal of the petition, but the petitioner is not here today. So my question initially is, how do I view this filing? In similar matters, the department has said, well, we really now don't have a contested case in front of us. And what does that do to this particular matter? And so that's the threshold question I need to ask today before we do anything else. And I invite comment. I don't know what to do with it.
I do think another threshold question to consider is that the time hasn't run yet on the appeal period. And Judge Wildman has been pretty consistent in issuing remitters. That deadline, when I looked at it, runs on the 6th of April. So I don't know what anybody's plans are. I mean, my clients are not going to be filing an appeal on his decision, but I wouldn't want to be premature in going down that road until we have a remitter back from Judge Wildman that it's a live proceeding and nobody's taken it up. So I'm not sure if you necessarily have to answer that question today, Director, absent the remitter. It is a good question, but until we know that there hasn't been an appeal taken up, it's more of a theoretical question.
Well, and so the other question is, if my threshold question is premature, then do we have any questions to answer today?
Maybe we could conference in Scott and ask him what he's going to do.
I think it might make sense to wait for to schedule something, you know, a week or 10 days after that remitter deadline, appeal deadline, so that we know for certain what it is that's going on. I mean, I think we can all speculate as to what we think is going to happen, but without the remitter, we don't concretely know.
So, Chris, this is Sarah. Can I ask you a question? Are you suggesting that Sun Valley is going to appeal the district court decision?
Sarah, I don't know. I don't know. So until the deadline runs, I didn't know that Sun Valley was going to withdraw their request for hearing. So
I think the more germane question at this point, Mr. Director, is whether or not your read or your counsel's read of the district court order is that, given that we've only just recently learned that if the director issues an order, he has to hearing or initiate a contested case, whether it's appropriate to just say we don't have a contested case and this matter is done. Because if there's no contested case and there wasn't a hearing, then there's also no opportunity for appeal by my reading of Judge Wildman's order. And that doesn't seem like a equitable outcome. So I don't know what your folks or what you are thinking about what the district court basically has done, what kind of a box you have.
Sarah, did I understand you to say that you thought the court's decision said the director has to hold a hearing?
Well, what I understood him to say was that he has to offer the opportunity for a hearing.
Right.
And in the circumstances in front of the court, in front of the district court, there was a hearing that had been requested, and therefore my reading of the order was that his position was we couldn't appeal until there was a hearing.
Right.
He didn't have the facts in front of him where there was a final order with no request for hearing. And that's essentially where we are at now. If we take the Sun Valley, the meaning of the Sun Valley pleadings, I think.
Well, I look at his decision, and it seemed to me he said that a person who is aggrieved has to ask for a hearing, thereby the implication being if nobody does, you've foregone the opportunity to challenge the order after that point in time.
No, but my point is, if we all got into the case because we thought there was going to be a hearing, mm-hmm. and now the initiator of the hearing has withdrawn that request, isn't it still appropriate to go forward with the hearing? We didn't intervene in the case for fun.
Right.
We intervened because we thought we were going to have a hearing.
Well, and I think that's the director was trying to frame that question when he said that historically, when the petitioner has withdrawn their petition or protest before the department has said that resolves the matter. The petitioner has withdrawn it and dismisses the action. And that's what the director was hoping for comment on that. So if you view that,
okay, well
if you view it differently, maybe there's an opportunity to provide briefing on that. I don't know what the director would like.
And I guess I view it differently, to put it succinctly.
Well, this is Gary Spackman again. One of my concerns is, and we joked about it yesterday, you know, I suppose as an administrative officer and with a lot to do in the short term, it would be nice to have one less contested case or a couple fewer contested cases, but in the long vision and long view, number one, sometimes there are significant issues that come in front of the department and that are supposed to be addressed as part of a hearing, and if we adopt this very strict view of procedural limitations, then we frustrate the ability of people to address those substantive issues. And that, I guess, in the long view, I'm reluctant to do that kind of thing. And so in my expression of saying typically this is what the department has done, I'm not necessarily expressing that that's my opinion about what should be done. I'm just telling you that's historically, I think, what we've done. And this proceeding is different than the proceeding that Garrick referred to. But so where we have protests, so I don't know the answer to the question.
Mr. Director, would it be appropriate for you to issue an order to show cause or some order that says, here's the situation, I'm inclined to do X, unless someone comes forward, one of the parties comes forward and tells me why I shouldn't, and let's say, you know, dismiss the cases, the contested cases, or close them, whatever it might be, and flesh it out. If somebody wants a hearing, they can come forward and thinks they're entitled to one, as it's procedurally postured now, then they can make that case.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's the right way to go, Mike. I appreciate the suggestion.
Well,
this is Travis Thompson. Sorry, okay. Candace. One thing, I just spoke with Scott Campbell, and he said Sun Valley Company does not intend to appeal Judge Wildman's decision. It's not to say that some other party would, but...
Has the time period passed for filing anything with Wildman, and what's the proper...
The time has passed to request rehearing. The okay. time to file judicial or a petition for judicial or appeal to the Supreme Court has not passed.
It's April 6th, right?
Right.
So it's only the appeal that's still in question. No, nobody stepped forward and filed anything additional judgment while and for him to reconsider his decision.
Well, and does it on the groundwater management area matter if Sun Valley has withdrawn the request for hearing? Does the agency believe that there's nothing been pending before it? Because there were other filings asking that were directed towards the actual order that were not acted upon because there was a hearing request. So have you thought about that? And what do you...
If you take a look at Judge Wildman's, the second part of the decision, mm-hmm. it would appear that he's saying that you have no opportunity to appeal, you have no opportunity for reconsideration. As I'm looking at the disorder, and maybe you see it differently, but when there has been an action taken without hearing, your remedy is to request a hearing. And so
you don't have a remedy for reconsideration, is what you're saying. The only the only request, when you issue a final order without a hearing, is not, you can't file reconsideration or something. You have to only request a hearing.
That's how I would read it. Somebody sees it differently, I would welcome a different...
He does say that there, but there's also pending reconsiderations. I think it's an aberration to, I don't know.
Another point that I might bring up for clarity is when you did issue the designation order, there was reference that a procedural order would be following. And Coalition of Cities asked that question on reconsideration, and we never got an answer to it. One way to bring clarity to all of this would be to withdraw the designation order and reissue along with the procedural piece. And that was very important to my client to be able to understand the full picture. I think from the agency perspective, there's a risk that would be run by you if this goes up on review again, that a single final order wasn't in front of the parties. So I think from everybody's standpoint, getting that piece cleaned up would promote economy for all of us. To be able to see the procedural component is really important to my client, and that's why we asked about it under consideration.
And when you're referring to a procedural component, Chris, what are you referring to specifically?
The
management plan?
Correct. The procedural piece as to what this management plan would look like. And that was absent in the designation order, and the way that it was framed was that it would be forthcoming. And that procedural piece about the management plan hasn't been issued. So if this is the end of the road, again, just speculating that if you decided this was the end of the road on this contested case, there are issues on review that would go up, which would necessarily include the one final order that's not issued. And we do have case law from Judge Wildman and Judge Melanson about that question, that you need to issue a single final order. And, you know, one way to cure that, I think, would be to withdraw the designation order, reissue it along with the procedural piece that you had said you would issue. And that would be a very clean way forward, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Director? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I guess I want to point out one additional thing that's been sort of talked around but not directly addressed, which is the part of the district court's order at the end, which talks about the error of the department in providing alternative remedies. I understood Garrett correctly, and I think I did, because he and I discussed this before the briefing at the district court. At this point, one interpretation that maybe Garrett may be advancing is that we didn't ask for a hearing. The person that asked for the hearing withdrew, and therefore we haven't exhausted our remedies. The time to ask for a hearing has passed. There's no opportunity for appeal. The order stands. And I think that may be the rule going forward, because now we're all apprised of how this is supposed to happen. But given the fact that the original order from the director included alternative remedies, and the court pointed out that that was incorrect, I think there's a basis to say that parties who didn't previously request a hearing should be entitled to try and exhaust their administrative remedies, including asking for a hearing. And if there is some concern on the part of the agency that that creates a jurisdictional defect because the time for a request for hearing, like we filed one today, that would be too late, then there must be a way to reissue the order, perhaps with the management plan that Chris is referring to, or if that's not what you want to do, just withdraw and reissue the order so that there's a new final order on the but I think that given where we are and looking at the magnitude of the change that's being proposed by the order, this isn't a minor water rights matter. There ought to be an opportunity to afford interested persons the ability to request a hearing now that Sun Valley's request has been withdrawn. Thank you.
I don't know whether anybody's keeping copious notes, but I'm at least mentally lodging suggestions that I'm hearing from people, and I appreciate all of those. Yours, Mike, and Chris, and Sarah. Are there any others out there?
I guess, Director, from the coalition standpoint, we haven't reviewed this with our clients. I mean, they may have a right, you know, statutory right now that order is final and cannot be challenged. So that's something we have to consider. I recognize the dilemma it puts parties in, but, you know, they were provided an opportunity to request a hearing. Only one party did. They've now withdrawn. So if there is no contested case, this may be a final order that is not appealable. And that may have to be answered by other courts, but that's...
That is stunning. I mean, that would be a stunning outcome. I mean, the reality is my client filed an appeal immediately because it was a final order, and I think it made sense to do it. It was this final order. I understood you had a record because you had findings of fact in your order. Sun Valley Company literally filed its request for hearing, I don't know, less than 24 hours of when my client filed its appeal without us knowing that that was happening. And to say that it's now, the director can issue a final order without a hearing and it's final and unappealable, that does not seem like due process in any way, in my mind. So I guess at this point, with the parties who, since the appeal hasn't been taken to the Supreme Court, if that's our option, is to file an appeal to the Supreme Court, is that what Wilde is saying here? That an agency can issue a final order with no hearing, and if you don't request a hearing but you file a timely appeal, you still cannot appeal it, because why wouldn't any administrative agency do that? I mean, the reality is that I guess the parties still have the opportunity to make that case. I just don't see that as being the intention of the orders, or actually what Wildman says. He says it in part. I don't read his decision as being that mandatory. He finds that there was an error in how the director issued his order, waiving the ability to appeal final order without a hearing. I don't think that's the outcome.
So one of the questions that I have today is, Chris, you suggested that perhaps we wait until after a deadline in April. On the other hand, if we wait, the result of this pre-hearing conference, and maybe that everybody now feels compelled to file an appeal with the Supreme Court.
Well, what's your option?
I think that's what I hear you saying, Ken.
Well, what's your option if you're saying there is no option? I mean, my client had, there's serious, in my opinion, the order has some procedural flaws, which I think Wildman noticed, but it's several different procedural flaws. The fact that it was advertised after you issued it, I think, is one of them, and I don't know why you would advertise and then have nobody be able to appeal it. What's the point of advertising if people can't petition the director and object? But anyway, that's here nor there. But
well,
then
all
the
parties
option is
had the right to file a petition requesting a hearing. Only one party did that. So I mean, that
you can't say you didn't have that opportunity.
Except for the director should have published notice prior to issuing the final order in a for 2 weeks, and the people would have filed a petition objecting to the order. That's the process. That didn't happen.
So you didn't get notice?
It wasn't published in the newspaper the way it was supposed to. So I think there's some procedural flaws that is a problem here. But if what I'm hearing you saying is you're not going to be afforded any opportunity to look at the final order, and the agency can issue a final order without a hearing, and if you don't request a hearing, you're unable to appeal anything, then I think that's something to consider on whether that's what, in fact, the Wildlands order says.
Well, Tanis, I guess I just want to ask the question. You said what I hear you saying, and I don't know who you is.
Sorry, fair enough.
Huh?
But
so I don't know whether it's me or Travis or who it is. I'm just
I understood that Sarah and Garrick were saying that, so I'll clarify that.
I'm just throwing out the issue and saying I don't know what to do with it right now, and I'm gathering suggestions from the parties. So I haven't made any decision here. We saw the request for withdrawal come in, and started to struggle with it. I guess I wanted everybody to struggle with me today. So what's the best course of action? I don't want to force people into filing an appeal. On the other hand, I don't want to force you into doing work that maybe is unnecessary. What do you suggest in the next 2 to 3 weeks? Do you want to brief the issue, and do you want me to issue something? You know, prior to the appeals deadline, or do we want to delay and wait till after that's passed? What do we want to do? You have a suggestion, Gary?
No, I'm just running through my head that if there was briefing, what order would you issue? It would be kind of a speculative order as to what you will do once remand occurs. Yeah. I'm just trying to work through my head what that would look like.
I do think that Wildman was concerned with due process, and the fact that Sun Valley had asked for a hearing was the way that he was able to get to the end result of his decision, which is something needs to happen administratively before it comes to me. He was very clear that there was confusion. And I think we all know we were all confused as to what to do. It's not like Travis that, you know, everybody should have filed a request for hearing, because we didn't really know what to do. I mean, be candid and frank. My client thought filing a petition for reconsideration was the proper way to go. Candace's client thought that filing for judicial review was the proper way to go. Sun Valley Company, who's no longer here, thought that filing a petition for hearing was the proper way to go. So then we get information from Judge Wildman that this is what you do in this circumstance that I don't think any of us had been in before, and we're all pretty involved in water law, I think, in front of the department. It was a new one for me. I hadn't seen it before to know what to do. I think that there are very large concerns about due process if we all go back in front of Wildman and are with the result that there was no request for hearing and that the matter is done and final. I really believe that. I think the cleanest way to afford everybody the due process that they're all entitled to is to withdraw the order, because it wasn't final, as Judge Wildman said. Reissue it with that procedural component that is necessary to understand the complete picture. I just don't see a problem with doing that. It would then provide everybody the opportunity to see how the landscape looks and then make decisions on how do we want to move this thing forward, knowing now that it's a hearing request.
And my clients may stipulate to that. I'm just pointing out a right that may exist today that didn't 2 days ago that I can't waive here. So I don't know what they're going to say. That's an outcome that
maybe fine. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, Travis. Maybe we're all struggling.
Yes. Yeah, this is Kent Fletcher.
I'd be very careful with the Supreme Court's attitude about the finality of judgments in trying to now move this into some kind of alternative track. I think the ball is kind of in the director's court to decide what to do with this existing order based upon Wildman's decision. I don't think even if we agree to some alternative procedure with this order sitting there, that the Supreme Court ultimately will think that was the best way to handle this. And so I'm not advocating a particular position. I just think that either this order stands with the right of appeal, or the director, I believe, has discretion to do something with the order. Under the rules, they withdraw another order from the past. I'm not advocating either of those positions, but if we, as a group, try to agree to something else, I think we've got problems in the long run. And whatever procedure we agree to do, I think we want to have some finality in the result.
Well, I'm not prepared to tell everybody that I'm willing to withdraw the order, or that there's some other procedural outlet here. Probably the best we can do today is schedule another pre-hearing conference following the deadline for appeal. And what's that deadline, Chris?
The way I counted it was the 6th of April. I think if you set something, 10 days past that, then...
And if an appeal is filed, is it the director's position that the director loses jurisdiction at that point? And it until the Supreme Court appeal is decided?
I think I'll rely on counsel for that answer, Ken.
The reason I'm asking the question is because I'm not sure filing an appeal resolves the issues. If you don't lose jurisdiction, the proceeding's still pending in front of you. However, if you're in district court and an appeal is filed, then the district court loses jurisdiction until the appeal is resolved. So I just don't know how it's handled with administrative proceedings.
The effectiveness of the order remains, but the department doesn't have jurisdiction to take any contrary action at that particular point in time. So it would just, we'd stay the matter pending the Supreme Court decision.
All right. Well, let's schedule a pre-hearing conference, another one.
Actually, I take that back, because we had the situation come up with the Surface Water Coalition. I'm sorry, Director, if you don't mind. That the question came up whether or not the department had to move forward on, was it a Melanson order on remand pending a Supreme Court appeal?
It was an AMB.
Yeah. Well, we got the guy who...
no, it was an AMB.
Yeah.
And did you get a motion to enforce?
Yeah, court did issue, or you did issue the order.
Yeah.
On remand, even though the appeal was still pending.
So we do have to move forward on remand unless somebody asks for a stay of the effectiveness of the district court order. That's what it is.
Yeah, so the district court right now is saying, I don't have jurisdiction over this.
Yeah.
The director does. There's nothing to change that unless it's stayed by the district court decision.
So somebody could either ask for a stay of the director's order, or I guess the parties could agree that we hold off pending the Supreme Court decision, which is, I think, what normally happens. Everybody says, let's just hold off pending that. But again, I don't know if all the parties would agree to that.
What does that mean as a practical matter, Garrick? This is Sarah.
Well, the practical matter is I'd wonder if everybody just say, let's hold off pending the Supreme Court decision.
But if there's no appeal?
If there's no appeal, then the director has to move forward to make some determination. I think he has to make a decision as to what happens with Sun Valley's request for hearing, and does it, does he automatically dismiss it now that they've had that withdrawn, or does he, I think there's been a statement that other parties should be able to step in the shoes of Sun Valley at this point. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's the question which maybe it's most appropriate to get some briefing on.
Well, or the issue is, does anyone have a right to a hearing at this point? Which I think is the other issue. And if not, is the director going to leave the order in place or withdraw it? I think those are really the issues that are framed.
Yeah, I agree.
Me too.
Let me suggest a day, and then let's see if anybody can make it. April 19th.
It's open on my calendar.
Any conflicts?
What day did you say? I'm sorry.
19th.
April. Pardon?
Wednesday, April 19th.
April 19th.
I could, this is Kemp Fletcher, I could do it in the afternoon at about 2 or after any time.
Okay.
This is TJ Budge. Afternoon would work for me as well.
This is Joe James. After 2 would be fine with me as well.
This is Sarah. The afternoon of the 19th does not work for me. I have a pretrial conference starting at 1 o'clock. It'll go a couple hours, unfortunately.
If we made it later.
This is Jerry, although I'm not involved yet, I will be. TJ and I have a meeting in the afternoon. Well, it hopefully gets done before that time, but if you had it later on, it sounds like it would take care of Sarah's issue as well.
No, mine starts at 1, and I have to travel to Pueblo for it, and I'm not going to be available the afternoon of the 19th.
20th?
I don't want to try my car.
20th, 21st? Kimmy, I don't have a full schedule here on my calendar.
20th in the morning. Afternoon is not available.
We have a pre-hearing at 10 o'clock on the 20th that several of us will be participating in, but it'll be by phone for most of us, so I think this is Ken Fletcher again. If we had it at 9 or 11 that morning, it would work for me.
That's fine.
Ken, is that pre-hearing conference mine? I assume it is.
It's Rolling Hills. I'm not sure that's yours or...
Okay.
Gary, or Director, this is Rob Harris. That is yours at 10 o'clock on the 20th.
Yeah.
It should be pretty quick. Got some good progress on that matter. So
if we scheduled it at 11 on the 20th?
So,
starting
for me.
Everybody? Was that Rolling Hills pre-hearing conference, was that scheduled for an hour or 2 hours?
1 hour.
1 hour?
It's only for 1 hour. I think it'll maybe only go 15 or 20 minutes. We've just gotten the approval to get some of the other, the swap of surface and groundwater approved by the canal company. So
11 o'clock on the 20th?
What's that?
11 o'clock, 11 a.m. on the 20th of April.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. Anybody else have a conflict? Well, I hope I don't. Kimmy White ran out to see what my calendar is, but I'm concerned that I may not have everything. But anyway, let's tentatively schedule it for 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. on April 20th. And I don't anticipate issuing anything until the pre-hearing conference. I don't know, Gary.
You issue an order continuing the conference to that date, if that's what it would
right,
be.
But nothing that would address the issues of opportunity and to participate in due process and the issues that have been brought up today.
Possibly intervention. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could issue an order granting the petition intervene if you file an amended petition or a new petition, Jerry.
Director,
yeah.
Perhaps to to address Jerry's financial issue. I mean, there's an opportunity to extend the petition deadline until the 20th of April, since we're continuing this conference. I don't want to have to write a check for Jerry. Director, that's what I'm trying to think.
I was going to say, what do you want, John?
Well, I've covered for you before.
Why don't you just pay your bill, Jerry? Pay your bill.
We'll just...
Well, that would be great, but I can get it done either way.
Well, we could just reduce his Western States Water Council reimbursement check, right?
I knew that was going to come up.
And yours too, John.
If Scott were here, we could pass his hat around and everybody throw a few bucks in.
All right, I think that's a good suggestion. Let's just extend the deadline for filing petition, but I don't bring it in on the 20th, Jerry.
It'll be set today.
Yeah. Okay. All right, very good. Anything else? Well, I just admonish everybody to stew over the issues and give me your best at some point on this. I want to err on the side of opportunity for people to participate. I don't, but nonetheless, we may be locked into certain procedural requirements. I don't know. Mike?
I know everybody wants to leave, but I've been dying to ask the question. How often does the department issue an order that would affect as many interested parties as we have around the table and on the phone that doesn't go through some kind of a hearing process first or an opportunity for the hearing? This seems a unique situation in my experience where the order came out. And so it would be, I guess, I'm just going to ask that question. I have some observations that go with it, but I'll withhold those. I'm assuming that the department gave some careful consideration to the procedure before it issued the order. And it seems that because of that procedure, we've got these problems here today.
A point well taken. I'll withhold any comment, however. Okay. So,
I just wanted to ask the question.
All right. Anything else? Thanks for your help today.
Thank you.